Well, good morning, everyone. We're going to make a start to our service this morning by singing together the hymn number 3 in your hymn book, the hymn number 3. You'll find it on the page 176. It's a wonderful hymn of praise. It says, "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things have done, and whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms have blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today." The hymn number 3 in the page 176, standing as we sing, and let us each one sing it out with all of our hearts today. Let's stand as we sing. Unite our hearts together, please, in prayer. Let us all pray. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence this morning, and we come with thanksgiving in our hearts and joy in our souls for all that thou art to us as our Father in heaven. We come to thee today in no merit of our own, but we come to thee through Christ, thine only begotten Son, the Son of God, the Son of righteousness, who came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He died for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. And Father, we thank thee for his substitutionary death, that he died in our place. Thy word tells us that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We thank thee, O God, that it was in thy great plan and purpose, even of eternity past, that Christ should come in the fullness of thy time, come in love, come in an errand of mercy, and go willingly to the cross of Calvary and bear upon himself the wrath of God, the judgment of God, that we deserved justly for our sins. Yet, O God, we thank thee that thou art a God of mercy today, that thou art a God of grace, and we thank thee that that grace has been manifested unto us in the person and in the sacrifice of Christ, our Redeemer. We thank that Christ not only died, but that he rose again, and we rejoice today that Christ is alive forevermore, that we serve and we proclaim a living Savior. One, yes, who was crucified for us, but one who has triumphed over death, who has triumphed over sin, over hell, over the grave, who has triumphed over all the powers of darkness and of hell itself, the one who has conquered our enemy, Satan. And we thank thee that we too, through Christ, can be more than conquerors through him that loved us. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that through faith in Christ, we can rejoice today in him as Savior, in the forgiveness of all of our sins. We rejoice in the precious blood that cleanseth us from all sin. We thank thee, Father in heaven, for Christ and the spotless robe of his perfect righteousness that has been imputed to us as the people of God. We thank thee that Christ did no sin. He knew no sin. He kept the law of God perfectly for us. And Father, we thank thee today as thy people who know him as Savior, that we are accepted in the beloved, that we can call thee Abba, our Father. And Father, we thank thee for thy goodness and kindness through Christ, that thou hast bestowed upon us salvation that is full and rich and free. We thank thee for the wonder of thy grace. We thank thee for thine everlasting love toward us that knows no change. And Father, we thank thee for that great prize, that great hope of everlasting life and a home in heaven for all the people of God that has been purchased for us by Christ our Redeemer. And Father, we return thee thanks for all these blessings of grace to our souls. We thank thee, Lord, for all the temporal mercies of life as well, our health, our strength, for freedom and liberty to meet together here in this fashion with thy people around the Word of God and in the house of God. And Father, we thank thee that thou hast promised that where thy people gather together in thy name, thou hast said, there am I in the midst. And Father, we just pray that thou wilt bless us here today in thy house with a very gracious, conscious sense of the presence of the Lord. And O Lord, bless our hearts today, and may our hearts be filled with praise and with love and with gratitude to thee, the eternal God of heaven, the one who has preserved us, who has kept us to this very hour. Lord, bless all who have gathered here today. Bless every believer, every child of thine. Thou dost know our needs. There is no need too great for thee. And, O Lord, as thou didst feed the multitude, the 5,000, and there was bread enough and to spare, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt feed our hearts and feed our souls today upon Christ, the bread of life to our souls, that we might go away as thy people, revived, refreshed, strengthened, led on with God, conformed more to the image of Christ, and that we might be able to say of a truth that it was good to be here. For here we met with thee, our God and our Savior. For any, Lord, going through times of testing and trial, who are perplexed and cast down today, Lord, lift them up. Lord, the lifter up of thy people, we ask. And Lord, for those that need a word of guidance, teach them, direct them in the perfect will of God for their life. For any, Lord, that may be cold at heart, Lord, restore such unto thyself, O God, today. And for any with us today not saved, Lord, visit their heart today with thy salvation. O God, as thou didst open up the heart of Lydia at that prayer meeting many years ago, and how she believed the message, she attended unto the word and trusted Christ. May there be that be the case for some soul, some individual, young or old, in this gathering today and in the house of God. We thank thee that salvation is of the Lord. Bless all our homes and our families. Unite them all in the Lord. Meet all the needs of our homes and our families, we pray. O God, we pray that thou would remember those that are unable to join today because of age, sickness, and infirmity. Lord, bless them, minister to their needs. Now, Lord, those that have suffered loss in recent times, do comfort their hearts. Fill the vacant chair with the presence of God. And others who cannot be with us today because of other works of necessity and mercy, Lord, bless them and minister to them by the grace of God divine. And for those who would join with us online today, whoever they are, Lord, wherever they might be, Lord, draw near to them and speak powerfully to their hearts through thy word and through thy truth, and meet them, Lord, at the point of their need, we pray. O God, we thank thee for our Sabbath school Bible class this morning. Bless the ministry of thy word to our children, to our young people. Encourage all those who are involved in this great work. May there be much fruit from it in the saving of children and in the guiding of children and young people in the things of God. We thank thee also for our youth fellowship. Continue to bless it, Lord, week by week. Remember all the children's meetings as well. Bless Gillian and all the work of Bethel Children's Crusade. Remember the online ministry, the ongoing outreach ministry week by week as well around the community. Lord, use all these things to spread the light of thy truth, to extend thy kingdom, and to build thy church even in this part of thy vineyard. Bless our land today, our nation. We commit all our sister congregations to thee. Bless every minister, every student, every layman who will preach the word of God. May they know thy help and that blessing that comes from on high. And Lord, wherever thy word is faithfully proclaimed today, north and south of the border, we think of England, Scotland, and Wales as well, these entire islands, we pray. Bless every faithful witness for Christ. Build thy church. And in these days of great wickedness and ungodliness, we do thank thee that thou hast promised that thy word will not return unto thee void. And Lord, be pleased to bless our land in mercy and in grace, even as in former times we ask. Remember our king and the royal family. Have mercy upon them and bless them in the ways of God. And may the light of thy truth, the light of the gospel, shine into that household and into needy hearts in that household, we pray. Remember our prime minister and those who would rule over us in our land and our nation. Have mercy, Lord, upon them. And may the light of thy truth and the gospel shine into their hearts also, we pray. We thank that the word of God is not bound. And Father, we pray that there might be that realization that they have to rule and reign in accordance with thy word and with thy truth, we ask. Do remember, O God, our missionaries today at home and abroad, Lord. Bless them, keep them safe, give them health and strength, we pray. We thank thee for our sister Christina with us this past week. Do bless her and encourage her greatly in her ministry amongst the boys and girls around the province. And continue to bless her and to use her for thy glory and for thine honor. Have thy way among us now, we ask of thee. Close us in, Lord, with yourself, and take away distracting cares and thoughts that are not of God. Help us to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And grant, Lord, today that the thoughts of our heart and the words, O God, of our lips, that they would be acceptable, O God, in thy sight, our strength and our Redeemer. For we do pray and we do ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. I'm going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 90, the hymn number 90 on the page 212, a wonderful hymn about Christ that says, "Oh, how sweet the glorious message simple faith may claim, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same." We'll stand as we sing, and let us each one sing it out with all of our hearts. Hymn number 90 in the page 212. Let's stand as we sing. have your Bible with you today, I would ask you to turn to the Old Testament book of Genesis, to the chapter number 40, beginning a reading there at the verse 5 of the chapter, and then also reading from Psalm 119, and beginning our reading there at the verse number 41 of that Psalm. So if you'd like to mark those two passages, reading first of all from Genesis chapter 40, verse 5, and then turning over to Psalm 119 and reading just from the verse 41 of that psalm. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this morning, commencing first of all in Genesis chapter 40, verse 5. In recent times, we've been looking at the life of Joseph, and we're continuing on with that study today in regard to Joseph here in prison down in Egypt. Genesis 40, verse 5, it says, "And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, and after the former manner, when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make a mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of his house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretations was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uttermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Then turning, please, over to Psalm 119, just reading from verse 41 through to verse 48 of that psalm. And here we have the psalmist before the Lord in prayer, speaking to him about God's precious word. And he says, Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. Amen. Ending the reading there at verse 48. And we pray that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts today. At this stage of our meeting, I want to welcome each one today in the Lord's great name. It's good to see all who have gathered with us, young and old alike. We bid you all a very special and warm word of welcome. If you're a believer, may you be strengthened in your faith today, drawn closer to the Lord. If you're not saved, our prayer is that even today, this day, will become the very day of your salvation, when you'll start out for heaven by knowing and trusting the Lord as Savior. And for visiting with us, we extend to you a very special welcome. It's always a joy to visitors to share and our fellowship together around God's Word. Also, those that may be joining us online as well, we thank you for joining with us today. And we pray the Lord will bless you also through His Word and through His truth this day. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember, please, the evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30 in the prayer room at the front there. We encourage as many as possible to gather for the season of prayer. And then at 7 p.m., the evening gospel meeting. I'd be long to bring God's Word. Do pray for that meeting. I plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's Word. Tuesday night, 8 p.m., the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study, and we commend that to every believer. Trust as many as possible will gather for that time of prayer and Bible study Tuesday night, 8 p.m., and that will be followed at 9:30 just by a short meeting of the church session. Ask the members of session to remember that also on Tuesday night. Do remember the children's meetings and your prayers throughout the week, 6:30, Tuesday night in Tresna, Thursday night, McGuire's Bridge, and Friday night here in Bethel. Do remember those meetings and pray for them and the boys and girls. Friday night, 8 p.m. here in the church, the youth fellowship meeting. We commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible will gather. And our brother, Mr. Ian Moore, will be speaking to the young people on Friday night. Next Lord's Day, the 27th of November, a Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. Morning prayer meeting, 11:30 a.m. And the morning worship service, 12 noon. We'll be long to bring God's Word. The evening prayer meeting at 6:30, and then the gospel service at night at 7 p.m. will be the form of a special testimony meeting, a family and friends service. And our brother, Mr. Gregory Gibson, a third-year student from the Whitfield College of the Bible, will be long to testify of God's saving grace and keeping power in his life. Our brother was born and brought up as a Roman Catholic here in the province, but then during his time at university, when he was studying there, he came under the influence of the gospel. And he came to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. He's now studying in our Bible college, the Whitfield College of the Bible, preparing for the Christian ministers. He'll be coming to testify. Do pray for him. We encourage you to make it known and do all you can to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's Word. There will be invites for that out on the table in the porch. And we encourage you to take those and give them out and encourage friends and family and neighbors and work colleagues in under the sound of God's Word. Also next Sunday evening, our sister Mrs. Grace McClintock will also be with us to sing for us in the gospel. So do remember that also in your prayers. Lord's Day evening, the 4th of December, that's a fortnight from today at 7 p.m., will be the annual Parents' Night for all the children's meetings of Bethel Children's Crusade. It will be here in the church on that evening. And the guest speaker is Mr. David Cahoon from our Dungannon Church. And the boys and girls also will be taking part. So do be much in prayer for that and make it known. And do all you can, especially invite the parents and the grandparents, those that are connected with our children's meetings in the various places, and encourage them and invite them in under the sound of God's Word on that evening. Also at the beginning of December, God willing, the Reverend Gordon Cook will be 90 years of age. Just to mark that, our committee wish to give him a birthday card. And that birthday card is out there on the table in the porch for all to sign, members and friends of the congregation. So do remember that will be out there today and also next Lord's Day as well. The Let the Bible Speak calendars are available, and the Vision magazine is also available there. And get a copy as you leave. The offering for Let the Bible Speak, ministry in the Poppy Appeal last Lord's Day evening, came to 800 and £16, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord's name. And then the offering on Tuesday night, our sister, Miss Christina Logan, who's a children's evangelist, came to £566, for which we thank you again sincerely in the Lord, and thank you for your giving and generosity to these various ministries. This coming Friday night, that's the 25th of November, at 8 p.m. in our Portadown Church, there's an Education Board graduation service. All are most welcome there. The preacher is our moderator, the Reverend John Armstrong. And then just as an outreach prior to Christmas, we're planning to give out 1,000 gospel calendars around the area here, around the church and around the district. That is the week prior to our carol service on the 18th of December. So it's really the week beginning Monday the 12th through to Friday the 16th of December. I would ask you to pray for this. We're giving out a wee track with it as well, and then a wee invite to the carol service. And if you can help any of those afternoons that week, let us know, and we'll be glad of your help and appreciate your help in this ministry. Do please pray also for Colin and Noel commencing a mission today down in our church in Londonderry. It commences tonight. Do pray for them also. Do remember also the Ladies' Fellowship Christmas dinner is open to all ladies, and there's still room for others to go along. That's Monday night, the 12th of December, 7 p.m. in the restaurant at the Mart. All going, put your name on the sheet, and all monies for that to be with our sister, Mrs. June Scott, by the end of November, but no monies on the Lord's Day, please. And then also this coming Saturday, the 26th of November, from 10 a.m. to 12:30, it's the annual Christmas Fair and Sale for Portadown Independent Christian School. And again, all are welcome there to that event. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to hymn number 443. 443, you'll find it on the page 355. Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change he faithful will remain. 443, keeping our seats for the early part of the singing of this lovely old hymn.
Thank you.
turn to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to Genesis chapter number 40. Genesis chapter 40, with God's Word open before us, let us bow in a brief word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence and Thy Word being read to our hearts and to our ears today. We thank Thee for the singing of the praises of God and of Christ. Lord, help us even now as we've been singing to still our hearts, to still our souls before Thee. May we each one hear the still small voice of God saying, "This is the way, walk ye therein." Give help now in the ministry of Thy Word. Empty me of self and of sin. Fill me, Lord, afresh with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God. Be mouth, manner, and wisdom unto us today in the proclamation of Thy truth. Use Thy Word to save the lost. Use Thy Word to build up saints in their most holy faith. Use Thy Word, O God, today to glorify our Savior, in whose name we pray and ask all these things. Amen. Our text for today you'll find in the latter part of verse number 8 of Genesis chapter number 40. It's really a form of a question. And the question is this: do not interpretations belong to God? Now, in studying the life of Joseph, we've seen him as a son and as a slave. We have viewed him victorious in the hour of temptation. We have also seen him mistreated and injured. Well, today we view him as a prophet of God. In our text here in Genesis chapter 40, in the verse number 8, he asks the question, do not interpretations belong to God? And here he is speaking to Pharaoh's butler and baker who are in prison with him. And he speaks to them in particular about God and about God's message through their dreams. And this all points us to the fact that Joseph himself was a prophet of God, a prophet who was faithful, and a prophet who was true to God. Yes, the Bible shows that Joseph exercised his prophetic ministry in his home. He exercised it in the prison. And then later he was to exercise it also in the palace of Pharaoh. And as a prophet, his ministry here in Genesis chapter 40 and Genesis chapter 41, his ministry here in particular relates to the dreams of Pharaoh's butler and baker, and also Pharaoh himself. Now, the place in these two chapters, in particular with Joseph, was to perform his prophetic ministry. These two places were vastly different in themselves. One was a terrible dungeon in Egypt, whereas the other place was a royal palace in Egypt. But in both these places, Joseph himself was true to God. Therefore, his life as a prophet is worthy of the attention and the consideration of all God's people. You see, this is because you and I, who are Christians today, we too are to faithfully witness for Christ. We are to faithfully serve the Lord, irrespective of whatever our lot and life is as God's people. You think of the words of that psalm that we read earlier there in Psalm 119 and the verse number 46. The psalmist is addressing the Lord. And he says, "I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed." The psalmist had a desire, he had a burden in his heart to witness for the Lord and his word and to speak that word even before kings and not to be ashamed of the Lord or the word of God. And likewise, as Christians, you and I who are saved, we are to faithfully make known the Word of God to our generation. We are to faithfully make known the glorious message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. Yes, the Bible says to you and I who are saved in the book of Philippians, it says we are to shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Christian, God has saved you. He has called you to hold forth the word of life, to shine as lights for God in this dark world. You think of the words of that lovely old children's hymn that we often love to sing, and what a truth is ingrained in the words of that hymn. And it says, "In this world of darkness, so we must shine. You in your small corner, and I in mine." Wherever we are, whatever corner of God's vineyard that God has us and placed us in, we are to shine for the Lord. We're to witness for Christ. As we then would think of our text today and the surrounding verses, I want us then to look at Joseph the prophet and the character of this prophet of God that God richly blessed and used in a bygone day. You'll notice first of all here with me that Joseph's character as a prophet, it was marked with a willingness to serve. It was marked with a willingness to serve. He was willing to serve his father whenever his father asked him to go down and check his brothers down in Shechem. He said, "Here am I." When he was a slave in Potiphar's house, Joseph was one who was willing to serve, because the Bible says Joseph found grace in his sight and he served him. And now again, whenever he is in prison, when he is ill-treated and injured, he still has that willingness to serve. And we see that willingness in his desire to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh's butler and baker who were with him in the prison. You see that willingness summed up there in verses 7 and verse 8 of the chapter, where it says, "And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" He could see that their countenance was sad, that there was something wrong. And then in verse 8 it says, "And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray thee." See again the note of willingness to these two men. He says, "Tell me them, I pray you." Here is again in bondage, incarcerated in Pharaoh's prison, and he's willing to serve. And you know, Joseph's willingness to serve by interpreting these dreams, it shines really all the more brighter whenever you think of his circumstances personally. You see, there was some of his previous dreams that he had told about at home, they still had not been fulfilled. Also, at this present juncture in his life, he was in a prison through injustice. Notice what he says at the end of verse 15 of the chapter. He says, "I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." And now the prison in Egypt, it was no holiday camp. It was a terrible place of poverty, of loneliness, and of cruelty, and of hardship. Yet despite these seeming obstacles, Joseph is still a willing servant of God, willing to serve the Lord. And dear Christian, in the meeting this morning, that's the example that you and I are to follow all our days. Whatever our lot in life is, we are to be willing to serve the Lord, our Savior. There is to be that willingness to do what God wants us to do. You know, sadly, there are some Christians and they're only too willing to give up their service for God. Yes, some will cease their Christian witness because of discouragement, because of the lack of fruit or the lack of results. Others will give up their work for Christ because they feel they've been ill-treated by others, or they've been quick to take offense. And then there are others and they give up their Christian service because they feel that their place of service is insignificant and is being unnoticed, or if you like, ignored. And then there are others and they cease serving the Lord because the devil fools them into thinking that they do not have that ability to serve the Lord and to do the work that God gives them to do. Child of God, may that not be the case with you and I as believers in this meeting this morning. You see, the Bible says you and I who are saved, we are to serve the Lord with gladness. We are to gladly serve the Lord. As Christians, we are to serve the Lord with a willing mind, with a ready heart. You turn your Bible over to 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and go down with me there to the verse number 9. You'll see this. Here you have David speaking to his son Solomon. These words just don't apply to Solomon. They apply to every Christian, to you and I who are saved. And look at what you read there in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and the verse 9. It says, in the second line of that verse, it says, "Know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart." And notice it, with a willing mind, with a ready mind. My believer, you and I, we're to serve the Lord gladly. We're to serve the Lord willingly. And Christian, whenever God gives you an opportunity to serve him, embrace that opportunity with all your heart, with all your soul. Don't give the Lord second best, no. The Bible says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whithersoever thou goest." And Christian, whenever God gives you a work to do, do it depending on the Lord's help. Do it depending upon the Lord's enablement and ability. Think of Paul. He could say, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And in serving the Lord, dear Christian, in whatever it is, do so in faith. Trust the Lord. Realize it is the Lord alone who gives fruit. It is the Lord alone who gives the increase. You remember again the words of Paul as he writes to the church at Corinth. He says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Believer, think today of the example of Christ, the perfect servant of God. What did he say in John's gospel? He said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." There was ever that compulsion in the heart of Christ to serve as Heavenly Father. There was that, if you like, magnetic force drawing him along day by day in his earthly life to serve as Heavenly Father. Was that compulsion, that burden in his heart and in his soul? Oh, believer, daily pray for something of that same compulsion and zeal to be in our own hearts as God's people as we live for the Lord in this ungodly world. You think of the hymn writer. The hymn writer says, "I would not half my service, his only it must be, whoso loved me and gave himself for me." Yes, may our testimony also be that of a willingness to serve the Lord. That's how it was with Joseph the prophet. But not only was his service marked by a willingness to serve the Lord as the prophet of God, we see secondly today that his character was marked by patience. There was the ministry of patience in the life of Joseph. You look again at chapter 40 there of Genesis and the verses 12 and 13. Here we see how through God's help Joseph was to interpret the butler's dream. Verse 12, "And Joseph said unto him," this is the interpretation of it, "the tree branches are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler." And he interprets the dream to the butler. Then after that, you'll see that Joseph, he instructs the butler to speak on Joseph's behalf to Pharaoh so that Joseph himself could be released from prison. Look at verses 14 and 15 of the chapter. You'll see that. He says to the butler, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me in prison." And he was saying to the butler, "You speak to Pharaoh when you get out on my behalf that I might get free, for I should not be here in this prison." However, the chapter shows us that whenever he was free, the butler, he forgot about Joseph. The result being that Joseph himself had to wait a further 2 more years in prison until his release. And you see that from what is said at the end of the chapter and the beginning of the next chapter. Look at verse 23 of chapter 40. It says, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." Verse 1 of chapter 41 says, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. After 2 years, Pharaoh had this dream, and was only after Pharaoh had that dream that Joseph was called forth from prison to make known the interpretation of that dream. So for 2 extra years, we see here how Joseph had to wait in the prison and in the dungeon down in Egypt. But you know, during these 2 years, Joseph, yes, had to patiently wait upon the Lord, but in doing so, he did not get bitter against the Lord. How do we know that? You see, whenever he got out of prison, whenever he was brought forth before Pharaoh to interpret his dream, you see him coming forth praising the Lord, confiding the Lord, magnifying the Lord, extolling the Lord. Look at verse 16 of chapter 41. It says there, "And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not to me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." And throughout this account, there's no word of complaint or murmuring against God from Joseph. But having to wait a further 2 years in the dungeon and the prison in Egypt. And there's a lesson there for us as Christians, brethren and sisters in Christ, in all our service for God. It's important also that you and I be patient. It has been said that patient waiting is often the highest way of doing God's will. You think of Moses. Moses had to wait 80 years before he was to lead the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt toward the promised land. You think of Abraham and Sarah. They had to wait until old age before they received the child of promise from the Lord. You think of the ministry of the great apostle Paul. It was marked by patience addressing the church at Corinth. He said these words, "But in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses." Paul's ministry was marked by patience. And people then think of Christ, the perfect servant. For some 30 years before he began his public ministry, Christ was patient, patiently waiting his time to come forth and to exercise his public ministry. No doubt his heart knew all that was going on around him in the land of Israel, the needs, the concerns, yet he patiently waited upon the Lord, and he even had to rebuke his earthly mother regarding that matter, for he said to Mary, "Mine hour is not yet come." He waited patiently for God's time. His ministry, yes, was marked by compulsion to serve the Father, but his ministry also was marked by patience. And you see that all through the Gospels as you study the earthly life and ministry of Christ. And people, why do we emphasize this today? Because you and I'm sure you'll agree with me today, that we live in an age of so-called quick fix. We live in a day when everything is obtained just by the push of a button on the internet or whatever. Everything is given on demand. That's the spirit of the age. And my people no longer are prepared to wait for this or for that. Everybody's in a hurry. Everybody's in a rush. Well, God's work is not like that. In God's work and in all our service for God, we are to be patient. We are to patiently wait upon the Lord. We are to learn patience as Christians, as God's people. And all through the Word, all through the Scriptures, you find God continually exhorting and encouraging His people to be patient in their Christian life and in their ministry. Turn with me in your Bible over to the book of James, the little epistle of James in the New Testament, near the end of the New Testament. Turn with me to James chapter 1. And here we see two examples. There are many more examples we could take you to, but time does not suffice. James chapter 1, look at verse 3 and verse number 4. It says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith," notice it, "work of patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Here James was telling the Christians to be patient, to wait upon the Lord. Go on over to chapter 5 of James and the verses 7 and 8. Here you'll see similar words. It says in verse 7 of James chapter 5, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and of long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And equally the Lord says to you and I as Christians today, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. Let patience have her perfect work. You think of the words of the psalmist to God's people at the end of Psalm 27. He says, wait on the Lord. And then he repeats it. Wait, I say, on the Lord, encouraging God's people to be patient. And that word patience really means continuance. It means endurance, even under trial or in conflict. And that is how it is to be with ourselves as Christians in all our service and in our work and our witness for Christ. Whenever William Carey, as a missionary, labored in the land of India, it was some 7 years before the first Hindu convert was baptized in the name of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the land of Burma, Adoniram Judson, he labored for many, many years before there was one convert to Christ. And writing back home to the believers in Christ in England, he said these words. He says, beg the churches to have patience. If a ship were here to carry me to any other part of the world, I would not leave my field. Tell the brethren success is as certain as the promise of a faithful God who can make it through. He patiently labored and went on with God's work that God had called him to. Judson was patient, and his patience was rewarded by the Lord. Joseph here was patient, and God rewarded his patience. Believer also, be patient in God's work, and God will reward you. God will bless you. Why? Because the promise of his word is this, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yes, we see that Joseph's ministry as a prophet was marked, yes, by a willingness. It was marked by patience. But notice one final thought here in connection with his work as a prophet. Joseph's character was also marked by faithfulness. It was marked by faithfulness. Genesis chapter 40, it tells us this of Joseph interpreting the dreams of both the butler and the baker who were in prison with him. Here we see his faithfulness as a prophet of God for the interpreting of these dreams. He both hears God's word and he declares God's word. You think of the words of our text in verse 8 of the chapter there. He says, do not interpretations belong to God? And that shows us there that in the interpreting of these dreams, Joseph was depending upon the Lord to make them known, and then in turn he relates that message to the butler and that message to the baker. The interpretation, yes, of the butler's dream meant that within 3 days he would be restored to his old job as the butler of Pharaoh. Look at verse 13 of the chapter. Notice the interpretation that Joseph makes known to him. He says, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast a butler. And then we have the interpretation of the baker's dream, and that really meant that within 3 days the baker would be dead. His life would be taken from him. He would be hanged by Pharaoh upon the tree. Look at verse number 19 of the chapter. Notice what it says. It says, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the bird shall eat thy flesh from off thee. What a solemn message he delivered that day to this baker. 3 days, and your time on earth will be over. It will be gone. But in all of this, Joseph was faithful in declaring the word of the Lord, and the word he declared was true. It came to pass. Look at verse 20 to 22 of the chapter. It says, and it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. There you see the word came to pass. And then the declaration of both these dreams and the meaning of these dreams and the messages of these dreams. Joseph was most faithful. He was most true to what God had said to him and to the messages that God had made known unto him that he was to declare and tell out to both the butler and the baker. He was faithful to the message of God. And brethren and sisters in Christ, can I say this is how it is to be with you and I also in all our a service for God. Yes, we must listen to God. Listen to what God has to say to us as Joseph listened to the Lord. And that means us listening to the Scriptures, listening to His Word, reading the Word of God for ourselves, studying the Scriptures for ourselves, having an attentive heart to His Word and truth when His truth is preached to us. And daily as Christians, it's vital that you and I be found in the Word of God. Not only must we listen to God's Word, but then we must declare to others, to this world, God's Word, God's truth, the message of His Word, whatever that Word is. The Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We're to be faithful to God's Word. You remember the testimony of Paul as he had labored in Ephesus for some 3.5 years. He said, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He was faithful to the word of God as God had spoken to him and revealed things unto him to say to the people at Ephesus. And brethren and sisters in Christ and serving the Lord and witnessing for Christ, whatever it is, be it a Sunday school class, a children's meeting, a youth meeting, public ministry, open-air ministry, witnessing on a one-to-one basis to others in home, in the community, in our workplace. You and I are to be faithful to God, to His Word, and to His truth, and to the souls of men. You turn with your Bible over to 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, and look at the counsel here that Paul gives to Timothy. Timothy was just a young man, a young Christian worker, in the church at Ephesus. And Paul now is an old man. He's proven the Lord for many years. He's soon to go from this earth. And look at the counsel he gives to Timothy in verse 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. There Paul was exhorting and encouraging young Timothy. Timothy, be faithful to the word of God. Even when it's not popular, even when the crowd turns away from God's word, when they turn away their ear from sound doctrine, you be faithful to God, faithful to His word, faithful to His truth. And those things that Paul mentions there about a turning away from the truth, is that not the picture of our world and our society today, by and large, around us, Christian, wherever we are in society today? That's the case. All the more reason then for you and I to be faithful and to be true to God's Word and declaring to others the truth of God's Word. Yes, in this end time age in which we live, our calling from God is to be always faithful to God's Word, to individuals, faithful as a church and our ministry, faithful in teaching and proclaiming the truth of God's Word and the glorious message of the gospel of Christ. This was the mark of Joseph that we've been looking at in recent weeks and been looking at today. He was faithful to God's word, faithful to truth, faithful to the souls of both the butler and the baker. Charles Spurgeon said that his chief ambition was to be faithful to God and God's word until death itself. And child of God, may that also be your ambition and my ambition as well. May that be our testimony. For the Lord says, be thou faithful unto death. And I will give thee a crown of life. Unsaved and closing this morning and been faithful to your soul, I must warn you about your sin and the awful ruin of your sin. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. As you sit in this meeting today unsaved, you're under the sentence of divine wrath and condemnation. And if your sin is not forgiven by God, it will take you out into a lost eternity in hell. There is no hope without God, forever cut off from God in God's heaven. But friend, today in this scene of time, there is hope for you. There is deliverance for you. There's a remedy for your sin. And the salvation of your soul is found in Christ. In the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, by you turning in faith to Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing your sins to Christ, and trusting in his sacrifice, trusting in his blood alone to wash away your sins, to save your never-dying soul. Praise God, the promise of God's word is that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't go away today without the Lord settling the eternal destiny of your soul by being saved, ready for heaven, right with God, through faith in Christ. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 520. 520 in your hymn book. The page 386. Go, labor on, spend and be spent. Thy joy to do the Master's will. It is the way the Savior went. Should not the servant tread it still. 520 will stand as we sing. thank Thee for Your presence. Bless Thy truth to our hearts. In our lives, as Thy people, be marked with that willingness to serve Thee, that patience of spirit. Help us, Lord, to be faithful even unto death, until Thou dost come or call us home to glory. And Lord, for any in the gathering today not saved, still under divine condemnation, do speak, Lord. Open their eyes, open their understanding to see their need of Christ. Even bring them today in faith and in repentance to the Lord. We thank that Christ has promised, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Part us with Your fear and favor. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless us throughout this Thy day. Return us again in Thy will this evening hour, we pray. For we ask these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. And amen.